Tokyo, Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, about 2 minutes past the hour. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. Got a little bit of a late start because I was waiting for a program to launch on the Ricky ancient, very tired old production computer machine thingy. But we're here, right? Yeah. And ready to roll. I want to get started by saying, I'm sorry I'm not in the chat room quite just yet, but I'm headed that way and should be there in a matter of moments, mere moments. And so I'll be able to do everything that I ordinarily get at the beginning of the program. Just any second now. I guess I could do the "Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid" part. So, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is the fifth day of April 2017. It is the anniversary of the Upper Big Branch coal mine massacre. You know, we call it a disaster, mostly. I got to thinking about it. I think I'm going to call it a massacre. Because 29 human beings were incinerated that day via a series of intentional acts. Don Blankenship intentionally meant to make millions of dollars. Don Blankenship intentionally told people, work like you mean it. And so, for me, it's much more of a massacre than a disaster or an accident. So my thoughts, and I'm sure our thoughts, go out to the people who every day of every year that has passed since have missed a loved one. I mean, that's 29. How many families would that possibly be? I mean, that could be 100 families. They could be 150 families. Mothers, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, fathers. We got the mothers. Sons and daughters, nephews, nieces, neighbors. Yeah, I know. So, if you want to be part of the Madcap Mary multimedia zany real-time conversation that takes place in the three hours that the program is live every evening, I heartily encourage you to run over to headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, and pick yourself out a screen name and a password where you will be met by the likes of Anatole, Jug of Punch, and Squeaky 41, and VT Blom, and a fairly recent veteran utility chat room moderator, Steve from Georgistan. Like a doctor, Sparky gets Wednesdays off. And more to come as they decide to wander along. Yes, you will be greeted and welcomed and happily welcomed into the bosom of the... see, it's prayer meeting Wednesday, so we can say bosom. of the chat room fold. And, okay, and somebody's dinner probably just got bosom. That's probably a word than booger, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, there's that. And a general reminder, we try to raise $200 every evening to keep the bills paid here. Big thanks going out to Chris in Germany and Peggy in the sandbox for knocking down our knocking down the overage we had last night. So that makes fundraising this evening a little bit easier. In point of fact, with what Chris did, Chris did it in honor of Sean, the green meanie. We've got $150 to raise tonight. So that's wonderful. That means, just one at 150 or 10 at 15 or 15 at 10 or 2 at 75 or 4 at 37.50. And after that, my head hurts because it would be, okay, 15. Okay. $17.25. Yeah. Okay. Oh, please, just don't make me. Anyway, run on over to headonradionetwork.com if you would like to help us keep the program on the air. Click on Contribute, and lo, yea, verily, you'll see a little box there that says Make This a Recurring Monthly Donation. If you do that, then zing, you will become a monthly subscriber, of whom we have only one on this particular day. There's only one subscriber for the fifth day of April of any given month, and I'm sure it would be nice to have some company. If you don't want to do that, just put a number in. The number you, Mr. George Soros, should put in, why don't you put in about $10,000? Then we can start building out a studio. We can upgrade the equipment. We can buy lights and have a high ceiling and do really groovy, nifty video and edit clips and employ people and all kinds of fun stuff. So that's and. You know, remember, George, that's really cheap for you. $10,000? Yeah, chump change. I mean, I'm sure you spend more than that on National Petroleum Radio, right? Mm-hmm. So, if you prefer the, by the way, if you prefer the Postal Service, The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV, 25801. So that takes care of all of that there, and we can get down to business. Because, brethren and sistren, on this lovely, lovely spring day here in Appalachistan, it's Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. It is. And the little old blue-haired ladies were, I guess they'd gotten into the spring tonic. Because they made homemade chicken and dumplings. Not them skinny little noodles, but the drop biscuits boiled in the broth where you got to put the lid on top of the pot so that they steam real nice and they don't get sad. And they come out all fluffy and light and delightful. They used up the last of the canned green beans with the pork belly in it and for seasoning. And then over to the dessert table, there was cobbler, three kinds, apple and blackberry and cherry. The poor little young'uns about got trampled by the deacons. When they want to, the deacons can move. And having done like the locusts did, yea, verily, unto Pharaoh in the times of old, the deacons then trundled their massive bulk up a couple of flights of stairs and out into the parking lot where they've been chain-smoking with the sinners, trying to get enough nicotine into their system to get them through three smokeless hours. Listening to me run off at the mouth. Only, of course, this evening it'll be two smokeless hours because we will be knocking off at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, so I can retool to turn around and then fire up the Malloy campfire and start at 9 p.m. So two smokeless hours. That's all it is for the deacons. And the fact of the matter is, they can get moving, like I said, when they want to, even when they're born down by massive, massive assaults on the Fellowship Hall dessert table. But then when Sister Carol Baker charges up her solar-powered cattle prod and emerges from the vestibule, they know she's in no mood for stragglers, and she means business. She charges up the solar-powered, even when it's rainy and gray like it is today in Hooterville, she charges up the solar-powered cattle prod down to the tannin bed at the Beauty Emporium. They got new bulbs down there, and I tell you what, it makes that solar powered cattle prod just crackle, and one good crackle, and there they put elbows and butts in motion, and the deacons blew through the vestibule past that 20-year-old. Oh well, it's not 20. Aging bowl of desiccating butter mints down the center aisle, and yes indeed, they're waiting right down here with the brass bound velvet lined plates to pass them out amongst the faithful as we do the offertory hymn in the hopes of meeting our fundraising goal, our love offering for this evening, our seed faith offering. You got to believe that George Soros is going to answer, is going to make your offerings pressed down and shooken together. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So there they stand, and with every head bowed and every eye closed, brethren and sisters, I'm going to ask them to move amongst you, and with their brass bound velvet lined plates, and you just keep one eye kind of squeaked open there so you don't get hit with the plate. And keep that head bowed and just keep it moving, and let's just raise up that $150 of seed faith this evening, and that way the Lord's work can continue to be undone. Brother Minister of Music, if you would come forward, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world, the fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
All hut sut, roasting on the rilla raw, and a brawl, a suet. I love you. Welcome, brethren and sisters, to prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. How glory! I'm calling on you now. We do things backwards here in the cathedral. We don't have the altar call at the end. We have glory. We have it at the beginning, and I am calling upon you now. How? Yes. Amen. Mercy sakes. Calling upon you to get up off of your seats and onto your feet and wiggle and waggle and wobble and get out there. Just be careful. Be careful, because hind ends is awful closest to front ends there. Get out into the center aisle and come on down that blood red aisle and fall. Amen. Fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense a flowing through them from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonist, Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid, and this here is the Cathedral of Common Sense Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn. Brethren and sisters, wherever my voice is going this evening, all over the world, I need you to know that the seeds have been cast by Brother Deacon Asa, and he's got $40 in seed faith money that he's casting out there, hoping it will be met by a brother or a sister or a brother or two or sister or three, and that coming together and believing as one and loosing on earth what they loose in heaven and binding on earth what they bind in heaven, that he'll be able to double $40 and turn it into $80. Here in regular short order. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. How? Yes. So the next $40 that comes in gets doubled by Brother Deacon Asa, who he's able to do that kind of thing, because he doesn't go quite so hog wild at the dessert table, so he can actually still reach his wallet, you understand. Yes, amen, amen. Praise his holy name, I tell you what. Brethren and sisters, there are warnings for us out there. There are warnings for us out there, brethren and sisters, as we live in these demon-infested times. There's lesbian demons and gay male demons. There's demons of drink and demons of gambling, and there's just women demons. And that's why the Vice President of the new United States has a standing rule whereupon Mike Pence, man of God, has stated that he will not share a meal with any woman not his wife. The story goes back to 2002, brethren and sisters, and Mike Pence, upstanding man of God, well, he told the Hill that he won't eat alone with a woman other than his wife. And he won't go to any event that has alcohol in it without her by his side as well. You get the idea that maybe Mike is a little bit worried about becoming a fallen sinner. No, really, that's Mike Pence's position, because he can't have dinner with a woman that ain't his wife, apparently, without thinking about having sexy time with her. Him and that famous helmet of hair on his head. Whether he realizes it or not, Brother Vice President Mike Pence would be right to home there with the ISIS, because they feel the same way. I wonder if Mrs. Pence has to wear a beekeeper suit to keep him from keep Mike from getting all worked up and just going right across the table at her and getting all a rutting on Mayella on her right there in the middle, right there in the middle of the green bean course. You just don't know. But that is an example that Vice President Mike Pence is handing down to us of good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical behavior. Because the women's is full of the demons. I mean, sometimes you just look at them, and a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Christian can't help but wanting to get all copulatory, which I'm not sure is a word, but, well, it is now. All right? Like I said, there's demons everywhere. But you know who's got the mostest demons? I know you know. Your homosexuals. Mm-hmm. Dear God, oh, mercy sakes, I hope Matt is not driving through the Castro District in San Francisco this evening with his windows open. This could get interesting in a real hurry if that is the case. But there was a former liquor supply officer, Marion Pat Robertson, just a couple of days ago, warning about the kinky homo demons. Yes.
There's no doubt there's been a leftward bias in the media. Good grief. Editorial board, every reporting department tends so strongly toward a leftist bias in politics. And of course, the schools are just appalling what's happening. I mean, I went to Yale Law School. Dear me, that place has gone so far to the left. It is unreal. And who knows? It used to be, you know, Timothy Dwight, people like that were great men of faith. The Princeton and Yale and Harvard was set up as a training ground for ministers. Long, long way back in the history, no longer. So what are you going to do? Terry, I'm
Ghostbusters? I don't know. What?
Reading. Kevin Sorbo brought me some scripts. Mm-hmm. So I just finished reading some scripts. Got one I think will make a pretty good movie. I'm going to talk to Kevin and see what he thinks. We got to make some more movies. I mean, he's done a great job, but we need more.
There are people out there who are entering the arena and making their voice heard. We just had a guest last week, the Unholy Trinity, that had a lot to say about culture and what's happening.
Well,
and we need to
we
know
have
these
to
things.
Do it. And people are interested. They're, after all, when you get right down to it, Christians still are the overwhelming majority in this country. You know, we have given the ground to a small minority. You figure lesbians, 1% of the population, homosexuals, 2% of the population. That's all. That's statistically all. But they have dominated the media. They've dominated the cultural shift. And they have infiltrated the major universities. It's just unbelievable what's being done. So a tiny, tiny minority makes a huge difference. So the majority is time. It wakes up.
Yes. Because, see, it's domination for a group of human beings to simply want to be treated like human beings. That's domination. And it can only be accomplished with demons, you know. I know. Mercy sakes, get out the fainting couch. Dear me. But yes, Pat's feeling all dominated. Usually for Pat to feel all dominated, he's got to go down into the seedier districts of Virginia Beach, Virginia, and pay the lady what does his dominating, and she wears a lot of leather. And has some heels with some has some boots with some spiky heels that come up over her kneecaps and whatnot, and she calls him Spunky, And then he just leaves the money on the nightstand when they're all done about 3.5 seconds later. Yes, that it dominated. Dominated. I bet you old Pat goes to sleep every night thinking about some of that there homosexual domination. Bad, Marion. Bad. Oh, Marion, you're going to look so good in that 1950s style house dress, Marion. Marion? Yes. He loves it when the Dominator calls him Marion. Yes. But at least he doesn't have to worry about being cursed. Unless he pays her extra to curse at him. On the other hand, there's Mary Colbert. Or perhaps Mary Colbert. Jesus, I hope she's no kin to Stephen. But, well, we all have our bears to cross in this life. But she showed up over to the Bucket Puddin' Report. As hosted by Jim Baker out in Branson, Missouri. She and her husband were listed on the presidential campaign site of Comrade Kumquat as pro-Trump Christian leaders. And, well, Mary says that, look, for those of you who ascribe to various and sundry forms of religion, particularly Christianity, I mean, it ain't nothing to me, but she says that he is the chosen one of God. Mary Colbert, we'll call her Colbert, like Colbert County, Alabama, named after George Colbert. Mary Colbert, that phrase kind of loaded, isn't it? Chosen one of God. I mean, to be the chosen one, doesn't there have to be some Crisco oil involved or something like that? And do you have to pay extra for it to the woman with the knee, up over the knee boots with the who does all the dominating? I'm not entirely sure, because I don't fully understand how all this stuff works. But beyond that, it's not just that he's the chosen one of God. Well, how can I put this? We're all screwed. And by we're all, I mean all of us who are a member of the resistance, who want to do whatever we can to slow the rolling disaster that is Donald Trump. We're screwed. Because Mary Colbert has done laid it down on us.
It's not that Donald Trump is all that perfect of a guy. We all know he's not. And we know that he's not necessarily perfect in every way that we would like. That's not how God works. He works through the ones he chooses.
Right.
We don't choose them.
No.
All we have to do is recognize them.
Yeah.
And when you recognize a chosen one, and you have the discernment to know that they've been chosen and know that that's the will of God, then your life will be blessed.
Yes.
And if you come against the chosen one of God, okay.
And you don't have the permission to come against the chosen one of God, and he hasn't already grabbed you by the pussy, I revere the work of the goddess of irony for making Mary Colbert say, come against the chosen one of God. She is mighty in her ways and mysterious, and quite often very damn funny. Little cowbell for the goddess of irony. Come against the chosen one of God. Nope. You couldn't pay me. See the lady with the boots. I don't know. No.
you are bringing upon you and your children and your children's children curses like you have never seen.
That's right.
It puts a holy fear in me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Really? The children and the children's children and the children's 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 children? And the children's 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 children? Skip a bit, Stan. Yes, absolutely. Everybody's cursed if you come against the chosen one of God. And there's really nothing there by way of explaining. I mean, what if you fake it against the chosen one of God? I mean, is that double or half? I'm having a hard time working through. These are deep theological questions. You understand, and that's why we try to work through them on prayer meeting Wednesday. But lots of cursing going on. Yeah. Yeah, it curses. Mm-hmm.
You know, and
they're picking the flaws out of this man that God has chosen.
Right. And you don't look for a perfect person. You look for the one God's chosen.
So if, dare I say it, if Hillary Clinton had won, Hillary Clinton, oh Jesus Christ, she bombed that subway in St. Petersburg. Oh my God, Goldman Sachs speeches. Oh! Would she be the chosen one of God? No. She'd be up to her eyeballs in demons. Don't. That's how that shit works. But yeah. Mm-hmm. Note from Steve in New York, a member of the fraternity of Steve. My demons! And to think, I thought it was just bad Chinese food. Now I know what them thar sounds coming from down under you know where were. Signed, GDI, gay, demon-infested Steve. Yes. Where is that damn music coming from? I hate it when that happens. Well, you know, you'll have that from time to time. Is it still there? No, good. All right. I caught the name, and as did Marty. Kevin Sorbo, really? Who next? Kirk Cameron? Oh, don't laugh. Kirk Cameron is hosting the National Bible Bee to see how well little kids know their Bible. Never mind whether they can spell, or never mind whether they can, find Kyrgyzstan on a map. Kirk Cameron really is, not kidding, hosting the National Bible Bee. So it just watch it with the Kirk Cameron jokes there. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Ron and Raleigh. Under the subject line, holy smoke! Hey, Bob, God has certainly set a low bar for his chosen one. He must have gotten into the fermented holy water. Praise the Lord, he's done it again. Yeah, I think I think this time the water got changed to about 200 proof.
Whew!
Mm-hmm. Michael and Madison, under the subject line, domination. Is it just me, or does Reverend Pat sound a bit jealous that he can't find a homosexual to dominate him? Oh, it's past jealousy, Michael. It's outright yearning. I mean, here he is. He's like a million years old. And to the extent that pharmaceuticals are able to help it, I mean, every time he picks up the news and there's a homosexual story in it, it makes his withered old member jump like a snake in a microwave. And he can't do nothing about it. Ain't nobody wants him. And he has to sit there next to that woman in the red leather suit. I wish I was kidding. It was video. And all he can think about is all the dominating that he's missing out on. He's going to go to heaven, and all the fun people are going to be there in hell, and he's just going to be sitting there plucking that fucking lyre and flapping him wings and shedding the occasional feather and trying to keep his halo on straight. Emphasis on the word straight. And ain't going to be nobody there to homo dominate him. If he wasn't such an evil bastard, you'd feel sorry for him. But he's an evil bastard, so we don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. But it was a busy day. It was a busy day there on the Jim Baker set. Once they got done cursing the people who come against Trump, well, they went on to explain just what it means. And you're going to have to work the theology out for me on this. I mean, I can participate, but I don't know if I got a sure answer. Jim Baker's all worried about people blaspheming Trump. You heard that right. I thought blasphemy was reserved for religious things and gods and demigods and goddesses and sacred. Has he raised Trump to God Emperor status? Is that what we're supposed to understand here? I'm a little at a loss.
As we read today from 2 Timothy, what are the signs of the last days? Number one, perilous times will come. And then it says men will be lovers of themselves. Is that true today?
Absolutely. We have dedicated Facebook pages about ourselves, all about us.
I mean,
that's right.
Okay. What do we call the pictures we take of
selfies.
Our...
Selfies. Yes. Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Look at my scriptures.
Yeah.
You have it right there in your scripture, too. Mm-hmm. Lovers of themselves.
Yeah. Wow.
We have pictures today by the hundreds of millions, probably what we call billions of pictures,
right.
And they're called...
Hundreds of millions, or what we call billions. You call it corn.
Selfies, because we're lovers of self. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers. What's happening?
Where in the name of... Okay, that was not on the Jim Baker show. I mean, I kind of like the beat, and you can dance to it, but... auto-running audio. Jesus.
Blaspheming Christianity. Blaspheming Jesus. They're blaspheming the good that is done, and even blaspheming a president who wants to do good.
Mm-hmm.
A president who wants to help us not bring drugs into our country, wants to stop murderers and rapists and literally to bring America back to a place where your kids could still walk the streets around your house at night, you know.
Really? Donald Trump's going to turn America into a place where our children are streetwalkers? Is this back to Pat Robertson with the Dominator? I can't keep up. I just can't.
I used to ride miles on my bicycle when I was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And all my mom and dad would say is, be home before dark.
Well, they'd say that, and they'd also say, hey, Jim, what's that on your face? But it never mind. It's a perilous time. And... These evangelicals are religion industrialists. Yes, clarity. I agree wholeheartedly. Blasphemers should be stoned. Pass that shit. Yeah, there we go. Exactly. I'll bet. Like you. You, like me, have not been sitting around asking yourself, Gee, I wonder what Michelle batshit crazy Bachman has been up to since she left the Congress of the United States. Oh, looks like Jim Baker done got to Michael in Madison. Subject line, what we call billions. Michael simply says, I'm sitting in my cubicle, LMAO, about that one. Oh, Jesus. Well, let's remember, they couldn't count to billions back then, because back then, they couldn't count to anything, no man over there could count to anything higher than 21. Or, well, in the case of occupied Palestine, it would probably be more like 20 and 7/8, given, yeah, you understand. Well, there is that, Sister Carol Baker. There is that. Didn't Jim Baker pay someone to love him? But self-loving is a sin. Well, there's the ones he paid and there's the ones that he didn't. You might recall that there were some allegations that from time to time, Reverend Brother Jim had a man in his mouth. I mean, loving. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there, yes, money did. Money changed hands, and then they went, and then they went for a ride on Jesus' water slide with baby oil. Yes. No, I did that a couple of weeks ago, Michael. Rode miles on my bicycle. Oh, Jesus, what the... Are we getting Queen for the bumper? No, I did that a couple of weeks ago. I want to ride my bicycle. Okay, no more singing. Subject line, thanks, Obama. Mm-hmm. Obama was importing drugs. Obama wanted to Kenyanate everybody. Obama wanted to usurpify everybody. Thanks, Obama. I knowed it, Bob. I knowed it. Says Steve in New York. Well, from dominating homosexuals, not wanting to dominate, but from homosexuals wanting to dominate everybody else, to cursing little grandbabies for coming against Trump. I guess. Bringing on the Antichrist end times. We stay pretty busy, don't we? Well, we're doing something else, according to Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman. Yes, we are. We're putting out semaphore and standing on the flight deck and waving in the demonic airplane. Of the Antichrist.
I have in the studio Michelle Bachman. You've heard her on this program many times. Also Phil Haney, author of See Something, Say Nothing, a Homeland Security Officer Exposes the Government's Submission to Jihad. And Michelle, at the...
Wait, Phil, Mr. Haney? She's got Mr. Haney on the program? I got a book to sell you today.
Root of this, and there's two issues, and they may be tied together, and I'm not sure which is more prominent, but are those that are seeking to form this one world system. That's why we're talking no borders. I mean, we want borders, but the globalists don't want any borders, and it seems to me that it's the globalists around the world that are participating in this tantrum. It's not just the American left, it's the globalists around the world. They really lost big time back on November 8th.
No, they really did. You're right. And all you have to do is go back to the book of Genesis.
Yes.
With the original builders of Babel.
Right.
And it's always been the same. There's always been two competing ideologies. One that wants to follow the truth of the Lord God, and then those who want to rebel against the Creator God. And those who rebel, for some weird reason, their goal inevitably seems to be the creation of a man-made one-world system. And Scripture tells us that in the end times...
Funny, I always thought our goal in not wanting to be forcibly compelled to participate in a religion was to be left the hell alone. But no, there we are. I am. I'm that way. I just want to be left alone. I don't want anybody telling me which way I got to bow or what particular headgear I have to wear or whether I got to have a star on my belly or no stars upon by those with no stars upon ours. But the rest of you, damn it, are out there trying to form one world government when we can't even form one county government. Can't you just leave it be? Why can't you be happy? Because you know what happens when you get one world government.
That is what Antichrist will be. He will be a part of a one-world system. Well, we have people like that today, in our own day, that actually do want a borderless world with a one-world system, the G28, the Davos types, the billionaires. And this is something that we need to realize isn't something we're making up with a conspiracy. This is a reality. There are people who reject the Judeo-Christian truth and instead want to insert and usurp control of all of our lives with a global economic and political government.
Well, I'll be dipped. And so how many billions of people on the planet would that be who reject Judeo-Christian truth? You'll notice it's truth and not facts. And instead want to insert and usurp control. There we go with the inserting again. It probably has something to do with coming against the anointed Trump. He's slick that way. Control of all our lives with a global economic and political government. Well, if she doesn't want a political government, she wants a theocratic government. Some bitch. How about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we're gonna wake up one morning and there's the Antichrist gonna be standing there with his seven heads and wearing an Armani suit and that's personally tailored to let his pointy little tail out through the back of it, and there'll be a vent in the suit jacket so the tail doesn't get wrapped up, and it's gonna be y'all's fault sitting there wanting one world government all the time. What's wrong with you? Daggummit. I mean, it's hard enough just living a decent, God-fearing, upstanding, moral life. I mean, there's rules. And you know, when you want to make sure that God loves you, you got to follow those rules. You got to wear the special hat, or you got to wrap your head up in a scarf so neither man nor God can see your sin producing hair. Well, there you go, Doctor Carol says I blame Doctors Without Borders. Got to blame somebody. Yeah, one world, says James, all the way from Ur to Rome. World was considerably smaller back then. As to self-love, Michael's out there working on the bumper. Divinals, perhaps? No, I got a brand new one tonight. Subject line, humble or bumble, Steve in China, isn't a Bible bee just a buzzword to take the sting out of a droning, hive-like existence? Just wondering. Oh, that's some serious art of word knowing there. That's what that is. That's cowbell-worthy art of word knowing. Thank you, Steve. But it's difficult getting through the complicated life of being a loving follower of the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. It really is. Because like I said, there's all kinds of rules you got to follow. Consider the poor Eritrean woman who was an asylum seeker in Israel. She's looking at 14 years of hard time in the stir. There in Israel, she works as a hotel cleaner. She's been in Israel for over 10 years. And back about a year ago, March of 2016, well, she took a certain matter into her own hands and so what she's looking at spending 14 years in the slam for is because she did a do-it-yourself circumcision on her 4-year-old little boy. Just a little off the top to make sure that God was happy. Because God won't love you if you have it over there if you don't have your penis mutilated. She said, "This is my son, my baby. After so many requests I made to all sorts of places about how to do it, I took it upon myself and cut. In Ethiopian culture, Eritrean culture, anyone knows how can do the circumcision." Well, lady, you ain't in Ethiopia anymore, or Eritrea. You're in the land of our partner in peace, Israel. And you can't just get out the little scissory thing on your Swiss Army knife and to work on your fork. And besides, in 51 weeks. But here's the 14 years in her part. Facing 14 years in her because not because she mutilated the penis of her 4-year-old son, but because she did it with the wrong tools. And, I mean, she's home and she not used the traditional instruments that are traditionally instrumentalized in traditional penis mutilation. It looks like it's going to trial before the theocratic panel. She appears to have a pretty worked up lawyer, Moshe Sergeyevich, and he said there's no law in Israel that regulates the work of moils. He said the lady acted according to her cultural heritage. This in a story published first at Haaretz. Moshe Sergeyevich said, "For us, a man with a beard and kippah says a few blessings and performs the bris for an 8-day-old baby. And that seems to be the most natural thing in the world to us. But if the boy's a bit older and the instruments are different, the same act is suddenly considered abuse that needs to be punished severely." Interesting that. In civilization, many people would consider it to be abuse that needs to be punished severely, whether it's done on an 8-day-old baby or a 4-year-old little boy. Or, you know, anybody without their consent. Mm-hmm. Prosecutors were not happy with Moshe Sergeyevich's argument. They said, well, if you let her do it, then just anybody can do it. And the next thing you know, it can wind up being used as a cover-up for abuse. You know, like when men will beat the stuffing out of their wives and say, well, in my culture, it's acceptable to beat the stuffing out of our wives. I don't quite see it the same way, do you? I mean, it's one of those I regret that I have but one foreskin to give for my Bronze Age religious insanity. According to the indictment, the little kid had minor swelling for 3 days after Mama took a little off the top. And he may need surgery in the future because maybe she didn't quite do the job entirely. She didn't moil according to Hoyle. Wait a minute. Yeah, I'm definitely giving myself a cowbell for moil according to Hoyle. Mm-hmm. She didn't follow proper Marcus of Queensberry rules. And they're gonna send her up the river because the defendant held the complainant in her hands. Really? He's the complainant? Well, probably by his next friend or something. One of those legal fictions. And instructed him to sit in silence. The defendant did not respond to the complainant's crying and appeals and continued to cut his skin in the upper part of the sexual organ. I guess because over there in your pleadings, you can't say penis. Penis, 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 penis. Ain't freedom of speech, bloody. But that's kind of, because, see, little eight-day-old babies who are getting their penises mutilated, they cry and scream, too. And the moil just keeps on chewing. Yep. And she and the woman, the asylum seeker, the immigrant, got herself in trouble because she took the kid back to nursery school and had him drop trowel for his nursery school teacher so she could tell the teacher about how she did a do-it-yourself circumcision so God would like her and her little boy okay and not, like, drop a rock on him out of the sky or hit him with a lightning bolt or any of those goddish things that gods do when they're unhappy with you for wearing the wrong hat or twisting your scarf the wrong way or not chopping on your penis right. The teacher then noticed that the kid had a limp. A limp? From a circumcision? He had a limp? Yeah. The hell did she use? A chainsaw? She then called the law. They took him to the hospital and stuck him in foster care and went to the house and took away Mama's two daughters. And she physically resisted. So they charged her with interfering with an officer in the line of duty, but they didn't kill her, which means that this story did not happen in the United States. And then the arresting officer didn't go on 60 Minutes and say that she had it coming. Further proof, this did not happen in the United States. The kid's still in foster care. And every day, little baby boys in Israel and in the United States too and other parts of the earth have their penises mutilated without consent. On the other hand, the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, as of 2013, has called on member states to restrict circumcision as well as female genital mutilation, or the coercion of children into getting body piercings or tattoos. They tried to litigate. They kept pushing that for about 2 years, but the Israelis got all pissed off, and so, you know, he'll never miss it, right? So they dropped the attempt to stop parents from mutilating their children's genitals to make God happy. I don't think she's going to go down in history as Israel's answer to Lorena Bobbitt. Ron in Raleigh says, I'm curious. If we all bow down to their fake God, wouldn't there be a one-world government as well? Oh, I get it. As long as it's their one-world government, it's okay. P.S. What? She couldn't find a moil to bite it off? Yum. Ah, the Mac is working. Working the extended metaphor. Subject line: re-moil according to Hoyle. I guess it wasn't in the cards for the young man. Ha. Mm-hmm. I suspect, David in South Carolina, Stan, you are not the only one. David in South Carolina, Stan, simply noting. This story has me squirming like hell. No, you're really not the only one. So herein endeth the lesson. There remains a $40 challenge on the table, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa, which will hopefully be met in short order. We've only got $150 to raise this evening. We are here at 3 minutes past the hour, 3 minutes into the second hour of the program, the final hour, at zero. So thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, and thank you to whomever it is that steps forward and meets that challenge, or whatever group of people steps forward, 8 at 5, 5 at 8, 1 at 40, 2 at 20, 4 at 10. You know how it goes. But let's not leave $40, and let's not leave a $40 offer in the plate, as it were. So if you want to get involved in the conversation, glory, hallelujah, you are welcome so to do. You know the numbers, the stress line, 304-663-4676. The other number, 304-574-8178. And from anywhere upon the planet, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. Brand new bumper. Nobody's ever, maybe you have heard it, but not here. Brand new bumper for the evening. Mm-hmm. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
Carl, dude, we slept in again. The song's about to start.
Shit, Frank, we can't miss the song. Barry, wake up. I'm up.
This song is such an awesome way to start every morning.
It's just a super nice way of showing the gods how much we appreciate everything they'll do for us once they take us out those doors to the great beyond.
God, I love them so fucking much. Oh, shit. Korn's about to start singing. Drop it, Korn. You got the best voice.
You're the man, Korn. You fucking rule. Take it away, bro.
Dear gods, you're so divine in each and every way. To you we pray.
Dear gods, we pledge our love to you forevermore.
We always felt we had a special bond.
Take us to the great beyond,
where we're sure nothing bad happens to
you. Once we have the sliding doors, things will all be grand.
We will live our dreams together in the promised land.
The gods control our fate, so we all know we're in good hands.
We're super sure there's nothing shitty waiting for us in the grave.
every day at home.
We'll shove the man goes up our ass like shoes.
We'll exterminate the Jews.
Subjugate the world and bring me
from Sausage Party, The Great Beyond. I love that line. We're absolutely sure that nothing shitty happens to us in The Great Beyond. I watched Sausage Party over the weekend. It was very well executed. The animation was stupendous. It wasn't like grab your sides laughing funny, at least not to me, you know, a member of Gen X of a certain age. It was, I'll tell you this much, it is a, and to the extent that several millions of people saw the movie, you got to think that they came away maybe with the central message of, because it's pretty tough on religion. Yes. Bob, did you watch Sausage Party? Asks Michael. Judgmental sigh. Yeah, I did. I was bored. And I felt like, it was slim pickings that day. And I just thought, I was just killing time before the final four games started on Saturday. And it wasn't great. The animation was magnificent. There was a nice little touch of bigotry in it. The presumably Muslim food was, of course, voiced by a Jewish guy. And you know, constant references to how violent, you know, he is. Oh, never mind. I know. That's why something shitty's going to happen to me in The Great Beyond, Carol. What? You couldn't watch Jesus Camp like the good people? Well, it would have been like for the second or third time. I mean, can a guy not get a break here? Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you very kindly to Frank for meeting Brother Deacon Ace's challenge. That means, hallelujah glory, that means that there's only $70 to go in fundraising this evening, which is huge. $70 goes, 7 at 10, 10 at 70, 2 at 35, 4 at 17.50. Yeah. And hopefully that will that'll be taken care of, and we'll get through that and not have an overage tomorrow evening. Keith noting, one world government sounds like Sharia law, or you know, Roman Catholic canon law, or Mosaic law, or. I mean, the Constitution was not framed by perfect people, but you really do have to give them props for wanting to keep government and religion separate. Not that it looks like we're going to be or have been successful in that regard. But still, it's an admirable sentiment. Are we done with all the religious stuff? I kind of feel like we are. It burns me out so badly. But that doesn't mean we are in any wise without material. No, let's wander back into the world of news and politics and right. In fact, something I wanted to do, seeing as how apparently it's going to be going on till 9 o'clock. I thought we might check in on the Senate debate going on now over Ann Gorsuch's boy, Neil, and whether or not he is going to get to be a Supreme Court justice. And, of course, the answer to that is yes. The hypocrisy was, there was a veritable shitstorm of it today from the Republican Party. It was almost as though they were afraid to say the two words Merrick Garland, lest he appear before them in the well of the Senate and start laying about him, you know, with a tire iron or some such. Because this is an exercise in sublime hypocrisy. You know, sort of do as I say, not as I do. That kind of thing. Because, you know, a couple of years ago, the take on the nuclear option by the Republican Party was an entirely different affair. Chinless Mitch McConnell he who recently has said that we just got to do what we got to do to get a fine man like Judge Gorsuch on the court, and he will be confirmed to the court. Well, Sherman set the Wayback Machine for 2013. And let's see what Chinless Mitch was saying back then, shall we?
How many times have we been threatened, my colleagues? Do what I say, or we'll break the rules to change the rules. Confirm everybody. 100%. Anything less than that is obstructionism. That's what they're saying to effect. Well, let me say, we're not interested in having the gun put to our head any longer. If you think this is in the best interest of the United States Senate and the American people to make advice and consent in effect mean nothing, obviously you can break the rules to change the rules to achieve that.
2013. Further proof on this prayer meeting Wednesday that there is no great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky with a handful of lightning bolts to just, you know, chuck down whenever somebody gets caught in a great big howling maelstrom of hypocrisy. Or else, you know, Chinless Mitch McConnell would be a greasy spot on the well in the well of the Senate. Because Republican. So, 4 years ago, nuclear option, bad. Now, however, nuclear option, good. Mitch McConnell's going to break the rules to change the rules, using his own words against him. And the hypocrisy, it really is. It's flying at gale force. Let's see, who else was pissing and moaning about breaking the rules to change the rules a few years ago? Well, how about the Plaid Avenger? Lamar Alexander from Tennessee, Stan. Let's imagine this. The Vanderbilt, Tennessee game, which is being played in Knoxville, home of the University of Tennessee, and Vanderbilt gets on the 1 yard line. Yeah, that's going to happen. The University of Tennessee says, well, we are the home team, so we will just add 20 yards to the field or whatever it takes for us to win the game. Or the Boston Red Sox are playing at home. Let's say they're behind the Cardinals this year. They get to the ninth inning and they're behind and they say, well, it's our home field. We'll just add a few innings or whatever it takes so we can win the game. That is what the Democratic majority did today. They say the rules don't allow us to do what we want to do, so we'll just change the rules to do whatever it takes to get the result we want. Then there was John Barrasso from Wyoming, Stan. We are not wiser than the founding fathers. It is not time to throw out the rules. Senate Democrats should remember their prior commitments and abandon this plan before irreparably damaging the Senate. And then, and she'll probably call me a dirty word for mentioning it this way, there's Carol Baker's senator, Roy Blunt, of Missouri. This power grab by Leader Reid and Senate Democrats is simply an attempt to shift the focus away from the disastrous Obamacare rollout. Ooh, a twofer. The Democrats decided all on their own to involve the government in every American's health care. Well, not every American's because, well, not every American can access the Medicaid expansion, but, well, in every state. Now the Democrats want to make decisions all on their own about every federal judge. Neither of these things will produce a result the American people deserve. Then there's John Boozman. This was an act of desperation by the Senate majority to distract from a disastrous few weeks. Senator Reid's willingness to break the rules, to change the rules, so he could divert attention from Obamacare's failures, is understandable, given how disastrous the program's rollout's been. And here's hypocrite Richard Burr from North Carolina. The American people know what they get when the Senate removes the 60-vote threshold and the minority is stripped of its rights. They get unchecked power by the executive branch. The president and Harry Reid may not like the American people playing a role in outcomes through the minority, but it has worked well for over 200 years. Never mind that the cloture rule was only created in the first half of the 20th century, but who's counting? 200, hundreds of millions, we call them billions. This change is a blatant attempt to change the debate about the Democrats' health care plan, as the consequences of this disastrous law are felt around the country. But it has ramifications far beyond the debate surrounding Obamacare. Rather than advance legislation and nominate judges that are capable of receiving bipartisan support in the new United States Senate, the president and the Democrat majority want their legislation their way, and they want to change the Senate rules to pack the courts with judges who agree with them. Make no mistake, these actions pave the way for more laws like Obamacare and will do lasting damage to bipartisanship, the Senate, and the nation. Which, oddly enough, didn't happen at all. Then there's Thad Cochran, a repeg licking from Miss Mississippi. Madam President, as the majority contemplate changing the rules of the Senate to expedite the confirmation of several executive branch nominees, I hope the serious consideration was given to the adverse effects this change could have. We should resist embarking on a path that would circumvent the rights of the minority to exercise its advice and consent responsibilities provided in the Constitution. I think that may mark the first time in the entire history of any member of the Senate from Mississippi voicing any concern about any rights of the minority. But, of course, in this case, it was a minority of white folks, so it's more understandable. The consequences of the action by the majority should not be minimized. Should not be minimized. Former Senator Ted Kennedy in 2003 testified before the Rules Committee that by allowing a simple majority and debate on nominees, the Senate would put itself on a course to destroy the very essence of our constitutional role. Such a departure from precedent would dilute the minority rights that differentiate the Senate from the other body. He can't even bring himself to say House of Representatives. You got that? Destroy the very essence of our constitutional role. And now they're perfectly okay with that. It also opens the door to applying the same rule to debate on judicial nominations as well as the legislative process. Susan Collins, noted wild-eyed Republican moderate, was there too. The majority party would have had unprecedented power to limit debate and block senators from offering amendments. That impedes careful consideration of the most important matters before Congress, and is not in our country's best interest. Bob Corker, also of Tennistan. At some point, you just have to throw up your hands and say, look, they're going to use brute raw force to get what they wish. Let's face it. I mean, this is about the D.C. circuit. John Cornyn had a hissy. Mike Crapo had a hissy. And then there was Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eaten future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time. Today's unfortunate vote damaged the Senate and was designed to try to change the topic from the millions of Americans losing their jobs and their health care because of Obamacare. How about that? A lie by a Christian. Who knew? In yet another partisan abuse of power, the Democrats are now shamelessly working to pack the D.C. circuit so that President Obama's lawless disregard for our statutes and Constitution will not be held to account by impartial judiciary. Asshole. Mike Enzi, Deb Fisher, Jeff Flake. It's a sad day in the Senate when the Democrats are willing to ignore 225 years of precedent to distract attention away from the failures of Obamacare. And then Precious Lindsay. Peeping out from under the fainting couch down there at the family estate called Smoldering Chode. Let's call it what it was. A raw power grab by Senate Democrats and President Obama. Previous efforts to resist the temptation of turning the Senate into the House of Representatives were lost today, and advise and consent clause for executive and judicial branch nominations was washed away. Without the ability to delay nominations, presidential administrations are likely to be even more successful in their stonewalling efforts. Finally, one of the great concerns about this rule change is, without the requirement to work with the minority party to select judges, the judiciary will come dominated by ideologues. One of the biggest winners of this move is liberal groups who will be pushing radical liberal judges to serve on the federal bench. No mention there by Precious Lindsay of the radical right-wing groups that have pumped tens of millions of dollars of dark money into getting Gorsuch onto the court. I mean, goddamn, you know there's some money being spent when I go to a website and I'm immediately, you know, a liberal left, so-called, progressive website, and immediately greeted by an ad saying, call Joe Manchin and tell him thank you for supporting Neil Gorsuch. Then there's Chuck Grassley, who sounds like he drinks a fifth of Old Overholt before breakfast every morning, and maybe he does. Who knows? Chuck's all worked up about the naked, too.
This is about a naked power grab and nothing more than a power grab.
You wonder, you almost get the sense that they wish somebody would power grab them.
This is about the other side not getting everything they want when they want it. Why did you choose this moment to break the rules to change the rules? Why did you choose this moment to hand the keys to the kingdom over to the president, a president with less check on his authority? All black and stuff.
Okay, I added the all black and stuff part. Orrin Hatch got his magic underwear in a twist. Dean Heller had a hissy. John Hoven got hooved right into a conniption. Jim Pisquick Inhofe.
For 100 years, the Senate has had a rule in place to protect the minority voice by requiring a supermajority for highly debated issues. Reid's nuclear option yesterday overturned this rule when it applies to consideration of most presidential nominees. By removing the minority's voice in this procedure, Senate Democrats essentially made the Senate's constitutional role to advise and consent on nominations merely ceremonial.
Ha! How about that? Turned out it wasn't quite so goddamn ceremonial when it was Merrick Garland, and they would not even say hello to him, would not speak to him in passing, lest they incur the wrath of he, the man without a chin. Johnny Isaacson was about ready to storm the bulwarks at Chickamauga all over again. Ron, not the brightest bulb in the chandelier, Johnson of Wisconsin.
The rules are being changed in the middle of the game. They're breaking the rules to change the rules. Regardless of one's political affiliations, Americans understand this is a political power grab, a partisan political power grab.
You got to wonder who came up with that line, break the rule, change the rules to break the rules. Break the rules to change the rules. But they do stay on message, those Republicans, don't they? I mean, something fierce. They like absolute damn pros. Then, of course, there was John McCain, Bomber John. A dark day for the Senate, my friends. I don't know how we can get out of it, my friends. It's the biggest rules change, my friends. Certainly since I've been in the Senate, my friends. Maybe my lifetime, my friends. And maybe in the history of the Senate, my friends. Where it's changed, my friends, by a simple majority, my friends. By overruling the chair, my friends. This is what happened, my friends. When our rules say to change the rules of the Senate, my friends, it takes a two-thirds vote, my friends. And, of course, you've already heard from the man without a chin. Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, chimed in. And he had to actually break the rules in order to change the rules. Never been done. He's breaking with hundreds of years of precedent to do this. Hundreds! We call it billions. It goes on and on and on. It's a beautiful thing. Hypocrisy in action. Yeah. And it's as though none of those words were ever uttered. Now that they're about to get their fondest wish, the Republicans. It amazes me that they managed to come down to the podium and speak without having their hands in their pants. Okay, cowbell for Will in Chicago. Bob, do you suppose there's an alternative dimension where Rand Paul is a libertarian proctologist? That's the stuff that keeps theoretical physicists up at night, and which I prefer to sleep through, usually with a heavy dose of prescription medication. But I guess I, don't know. You. Yeah. So, that's where we find ourselves at 28 minutes before the hour. A little bird told me something. I want to make sure, I don't want to forget, so I want to get it out there ahead of time. We have birthday wishes that are due and owing. Birthday wishes, specifically for Friday, I might add. But on the odd chance that I'm not on the air on Friday, among other things, we've got a blizzard coming. Well, not a blizzard, but like 5 inches of snow, we're told. And you never really know what's going to happen when that happens around here. But come Friday, it will be the 80th birthday of our dear friend Edward in Dallas. And I'm told he'll be celebrating at home with cake and ice cream. Yum. And, of course, down there you can get that wonderful Bluebell ice cream, the homemade vanilla. Oh, my God. So yummy. Lee tells me, we both always enjoyed your programs and best wishes for your health. Thank you very kindly. And very, very happy birthday wishes to you, Edward. Very happy birthday wishes indeed from all of us here at the Horn. Let's run over and check in with Steve from Georgia. Stan, what's happening, Steve?
Hey, Bob, what's going on, man?
I'm here, you're there, we're Cuckoo Cachoo, the walrus or something.
I suppose.
We are the Eggman.
Yeah, you're the Eggman. Man, we've had some crazy storms here today. I don't know if you've been keeping up with that or not.
Oh, no, I saw.
Tornadoes flying all over the southeast. And
well, I mean, it's the season, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you forget I grew up down there.
Right. I've never seen it this bad, this intense. You know, this is twice this week we've had to deal with this.
Well, tell the Chinese to stop with the big old hoax, will you?
Or tell that asshole that drug a snowball out on the Senate floor that, you know.
To eat a bag of, yeah.
Yeah. That it was all just him just showgating. It didn't mean anything. But I wanted to know what do you think? I haven't heard you mention this. Steve Bannon resigning from the National Security Post, or got fired actually.
For one, I love the excuses. Well, it was only there in the first place to keep an eye on Mike Flynn. That was one. But my preferred is the. Do we call it a rumor, Steve? I don't know. The scuttlebutt is that Trump wanted him gone from the National Security Council because he was hogging the limelight.
Seriously, Trump's ego is, I guess it is. I thought this was his right-hand man, though. Isn't this the guy from That
website that rhymes with light and fart? Yeah, that's right. Him. Yeah.
So he's just going to kick him to the curb, or does he still have a minimum?
Oh, no, he's still in the White House. He's just not on the National Security Council. It was unheard of to begin with that he would have been on the National Security Council. So now he isn't. With the caveat, of course, if, in fact, they're telling the truth.
Which is always a caveat, as you said, because you can't believe these bastards from, one word to the next. They look in the camera, and within one sentence, they can tell you three lies. They contradict each other.
Oh, if a member of the Trump administration told me the sky was blue, I would walk outside expecting to see it pink polka dotted. Plain and simple.
So it's pretty obvious to change gears into something else. Mitch McGinnis, he's going to blow up this filibuster rule. I mean, it's going to happen, isn't it? And we're going to wind up with this. What's his name?
Neil Gorsuch. Yeah, Ann's boy.
Yep.
Ann, who trashed the EPA. Ann, who was the first member of, administrator of an agency to ever be held in contempt of Congress.
And if we thought Scalia was bad, my God, just look at the precedent on what this guy's voting
for. Well, this
on.
guy's actually further to the right than Scalia.
Right, actually.
And that's frightening. And so, you know, like I said, I don't know if I said it here or over on the Malloy program. I don't know what you do when you're irreligious. But if you're religious, you know, you tinkle bells and you light candles and you wear the special party hat for God, and there's sweaters and shawls and high button greaves and pointy shoes. I don't know. But you do that when you want to make sure that the God makes a special case of not killing off someone important to you. I don't know what non-religious people like me do, but all I can do is, I guess, hope for a 100-year lifespan for Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer.
Right. Put them in a
And Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor. You know, we had 8 years of imprecatory prayer by the right wing, Steve, praying for various and sundry people that they didn't like to get lightning bolted by their God.
And after what they did to Garland, for them to flip-flop like this and come out and say that, you know, just the whole premise of it is just, it's galling. And it should be galling to every free-thinking person out there.
You would hope, but it's nothing you'd want to go run out to Vegas and bet the farm on, is it?
Right. No, absolutely not.
But you know, Slappy's getting up there. I mean, sadly, old Balls and Strikes John Roberts is still young and spry, and so is shoot him in the back of the head at, you know, 30 feet away, Sammy Alito. I guess the Kennedy guy gets included in the please don't lightning bolt him Jeebus list. Because any of the liberals or Kennedy after Gorsuch, and it's game over.
We could find ourselves in a hell of a mess. And the only way this could turn around and bite them on the ass, and it's something else I wanted to ask you, do you think that by them going down this road and repealing the filibuster rule, if we were to take over the House, that sometime in the future that this could bite them in the ass? I mean, it's a two-way street.
The last time anybody tried to impeach a Supreme Court justice was the 19th century, and it didn't work.
No, well, that's not where I'm going. What I was trying to say was I like your original ideal of impeachment by the House if we could take that over and just shaming the Senate into doing it and taking out Trump and taking out Pence.
Well, but you got to find crimes that they both – high crimes or misdemeanors of which they are both chargeable.
And I guess that's where we need Rick to chime in to find out if there's anything out there. It's just –
Well, the emoluments thing is and for as long as it is going to be there, I just read at a passing glance earlier that there's some interesting legal stuff to be considered here. And that is, for instance, you know – And I don't know why the Congress didn't do this. The Constitution says explicitly that the Congress can waive the emoluments clause for the president. They just pass a little bill that says it's okay if the president wants to use the entire United States government as a profit-making enterprise. It's cool by us. House passes it. It goes over to the Senate. The Republican majority in the Senate goes cool by us, too. And it goes, and boom, done. But they have not done that. So that means that every potential violation of the Emoluments Clause that's taken place since January 20th is arguably actionable. And then the ex post facto law clause presents at least an argument that the Congress can't go back if you know, and say, oh, well, we're going to grant him retroactive. Because the Constitution says there shall be no ex post facto laws nor bills of attainder. Now, generally, that's understood to mean that you can't say that there's no, you can't pass a law now to say that something somebody did 5 years ago is a crime. But I don't necessarily think it's that narrow. You also can't say, you can't pass a law now to say that something done illegally 5 years ago was okay. Because that would amount to the Congress exercising a pardon privilege that is vested solely in the executive. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
So the emoluments thing is out there. But there's...
And from what Rick was saying, collusion of it in itself is not an impeachable offense. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would.
It should be.
I don't know. No, because that's just way too broad.
Yeah.
But it's not a Let's remember, the Russia thing isn't over by a long shot.
Not by a long shot, especially if they get an independent counsel. Which, if we take over the House, that could happen.
But again, sitting around thinking about taking over the House.
Well, that's why I like your hypothetical the best. To me, that's our only hope.
Yeah, but in 2018, that's almost no hope at all. I mean, I think there's actually a better chance of Nancy Pelosi sending roses to every member of the Freedom Caucus and getting them to join a coalition to get a discharge petition of a bill of impeachment onto the floor. And I mean, if you've got the whole Freedom Caucus plus the Democrats, all of them. You could impeach him,
right? But is the Senate going to convict? Though I mean, you got that's a two part.
Well, it is a two, but it's always a two part,
right?
And the Senate is not going to change hands in 2018, Steve.
No, you're right. I mean, unless they found an ounce of statesmanship within their souls, which let's face it, they're not going to. All they want is a stooge, and they've got one. That they can put a pen in his hand and say, sign this. That's all they want, and they've got it. So I just think we're in a hell of a mess, Bob.
And we're in a hell of a mess in places we don't know we're in a mess. All the focus is on Syria. And, you know, rightly so with what recently happened. Of course, we all know that, of course the Syrians... some Syrian pilot flying a Russian warplane. Of course he didn't drop poison gas on a bunch of civilians and, you know, what, 83 civilians, 25 children, and just murder them outright. Of course he didn't do that. I mean, they've already explained that they accidentally bombed a secret stash of secret squirrel poison gas that the rebels were hiding, even though it wasn't, you know, there.
And didn't Russia take credit for doing that? I mean, that even makes everything even more convoluted.
And there's really no way to fix it.
I remember
when Hillary Clinton said that she wanted to enforce a no-fly zone. and all kinds of alleged liberals and alleged lefties and alleged progressives scream, God damn it, she wants to start World War III with Russia. So so what? The only alternative is, what the hell? You know, I mean, let the Russians do what they want to in Syria. Let Assad, you know, if he gasses enough of them, he'll probably have, the only people left over will be the people who are perfectly happy to be ruled by Assad, and then it can be a perfectly reasonable, happy, decent little country again. And the Russians will go home, and they won't want to build any bases, and they won't want any access to the Mediterranean there on that chunk of Syria that sticks into the Mediterranean by Turkey. And you know, they'll just, you know, go home.
And the way Trump will spin this is, I'm so glad that we befriended the Russians. They had our back. I knew all along they would. And you know, he'll spin it like that. And you know,
it was disgusting what he said.
Yep.
Honest to God, to say, it's terrible what happened to those people in Syria, but you know, it's Barack Obama's fault, you know, because he's he's a Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, and what about the birth certificate? Yeah, fucker. I mean, there's not even a goddamn molecule of presidentiality about him, and it's disgusting.
He doesn't have enough sense to have a molecule of presidentiality. I'm more comfortable with his kids at the head than I am.
I'm not. Did you see the Jared and Ivanka interview where they said, "Well, darling, you know, nepotism is kind of a fact of life."
The Hussein Gooseyer. But
yeah, and then you got Ootie and Cootie.
At least they're not insane, or maybe they are. Maybe the
sure they are. That apple doesn't
fall far from the tree.
No. No, they it's not that they're insane. They are entirely consumed by their remorseless, ceaseless search for wealth. And that's all that matters. The whole country could burn down around them.
Yeah, as long as they were picking their golden apples off the tree, though, they wouldn't give a fuck, would they?
Yeah. And, I mean, I said, there are things going on we're not even worried about. Oh, we're worried about North Korea. Oh, we're worried about Syria. Oh, what about China? Well, yeah, what about China? It turns out that every day, and the numbers are rising from the year before last to last year to this year, there are Chinese Air Force incursions into what the rest of the world does not dispute as Japanese airspace. Over a group of uninhabited islands in the East China Sea. And Japanese self-defense air force F-15s scramble almost constantly from an airbase in Okinawa to meet these Chinese aircraft to show them that that Japan is not going to cede those uninhabited islands. And you know, why would China be interested in them? Well, it turns out that a couple of geologists here and there have said that those islands just might have some oil under them.
How convenient. Yeah, how convenient. And that's a whole other kettle of fish, you know. You got this North Korea and China, and Trump actually thinks he's going to get them to turn on each other. What is this dude smoking, man?
Well, you know what my position is on that. I'm convinced that Donald J. Trump is in the throes of tertiary syphilis. He didn't have to smoke anything. I'm not kidding about that. I think
no, either that or dementia.
There's, I mean, and you and I have talked about this because you know you're dealing with it with your mom. I saw it in my grandmother. The man is not healthy in his brain.
he's one fry short of a Happy Meal, you know, say, to put it mild. And that's who has our nuclear codes. I don't know, Bob. If there
well, and that yeah, and then
this is it.
Yeah, and
know?
There and there is North Korea. And
that's
and
a
what
whole other
what
kettle of fish too.
And he's meeting with Xi Jinping.
Yes,
down at Mar-a-Lago, and probably making a nice chunk of change off of that.
You know, there's something in it for him. He wouldn't be doing it.
But the thing is, just for a minute, be China. Now, right-wing world here in America is absolutely convinced that North Korea is gonna park a nuke right on top of downtown Branson just any damn day now.
yeah, you're right. You're right. Listen to Fox News. I mean, look at they're setting it up. You know?
Look at the freaking map. You got South Korea. I mean, Korean Peninsula. South Korea, North Korea. Oh, China. If you're China, you've got that crazy little bastard right next door. I mean, for all intents and purposes, you're in an apartment building and you share a wall with the little fucker. And he's not really little. I mean, he's kind of... That dude is ballooning in the short time that he's been in power. But
what did McCain call him, the fat little kid or something, and insulted him? That's a whole other issue, which is kind of funny. But
the thing is, what did Trump say? If China doesn't do it, we'll go it alone?
That's exactly what he said, you know.
But then again, that's the other thing. He's straight out of Macbeth. Trump is.
I don't think he knows what he says.
Well, he's
or thinks it through.
He's a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, remember how he was going to conquer ISIS in 30 days?
Or repeal Obamacare day one.
Day one.
Executive order.
And there's not a he hasn't kept a single promise. But that's all right with the Trumpansies because, you know, he needs to at least have a couple of years in office.
Yep.
But the fact of the matter is, what happens when he finally does keep a promise? I mean, this is the kind of thing, Steve. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's
okay. That gives me the dribbling shits, okay?
If he does keep a promise, we could all be totally fucked.
Well, it's like this. The guy's poll numbers are at 34%.
That's where Hitler's poll numbers were back in, 32?
Hey.
I know. When
but
you
his
bring
poll,
up Hitler, you
yeah,
lose.
But
still.
His poll numbers are at 34%, Steve.
Who are these people, Bob?
Well, those are the hardcore Trumpansies.
The Trumpettes.
Trumpansies. That way there's no gender to it.
Yeah, okay.
You know, just with hands full of poo and ready to fling. And, but nationally, Paul Ryan is at 28%. So that indicates that there might be some, yet be a little bit more room for downward movement for Comrade Kumquat. That ain't necessarily a good thing.
No, especially if we can, you know, I hate to keep bringing this up, but if we can go about your plan that you brought up over a month ago with this house thing. Are you following me?
Well, yeah, but I'm going somewhere else.
Okay.
You ever been around a wounded dead a wounded wild animal?
Yes.
You ever been deer hunting? Or well, never
not,
mind.
Not many times.
Never mind.
No, go ahead.
Well, the point of the matter is a wounded animal is in many instances more dangerous than a healthy one. A healthy one can run and get away.
That's true.
At this point in time, and a wounded animal, well, let's put it this way. It's not, you know, he's not a corn. He's not a cornered lion. You can corner a jackass, too, and they will kick.
If you ever hit a deer, he'll try to gorge you or anything, you know, if you try to get out and see what the hell's going on. I understand what you're saying.
And so the lower his numbers go, my opinion is that that's the more dangerous he becomes.
So that's not necessarily a good thing. Well, what the hell's the alternative then?
I don't know that there is one. I mean, I said a long time ago, obligatory Star Trek reference, that this is a constitutional Kobayashi Maru.
It's a crisis beyond
It is a no win situation.
Well, Bob, it's 2 minutes.
And I'm just a little freaking ray of sunshine, I know. Yeah, we got to get out of here. Steve, thanks for the call. It was a good conversation.
Nice talking to you, Bob, as always. And I appreciate you, my friend.
It's always a joy. You take care now.
All right. Bye
now. Our buddy Steve from Georgia Stand, this evening's pinch hit utility prayer meeting Wednesday chat room moderator. So it is time to get out of here, and I want to extend thanks thank you well where'd it go oh there it is yeah thank you very kindly to Charlie in Tennessee. We got $50 to go to knock out this evening's fundraising. Maybe that'll happen between now and midnight or something like that, but if not, then tomorrow evening it'll be $250, and that's okay. It's not the first time we've been that way. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time in listening to the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to Pinch Hit Utility chat room moderator Steve from Georgia Stand, prayer meeting Wednesday. I guess you'd be an usher, wouldn't you, Steve? Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all. See you in an hour over around the Malloy campfire. Bye now.